River Danube, glassy grey, flecked with silver, weaving its way through Linz. The next tram wasn't for another hour. She crossed the track and sped down the steep gravel path that wound down the mountainside. As a child, she'd never had money for the tram and had walked this route twice a day for 5 years. She'd wanted to get a place near the front when he came, but as the bells from the grand church atop the Pöstlingberg chimed 5 o'clock, she knew the crowds would already be gathered below in the town square. She descended past rustic chalets that clung to the hillside, their flower boxes empty. Spring would soon be here. The flower boxes filled with trailing red geraniums and ivy, and hanging baskets would burst with violet petunias. There were grand white stone villas too, boasting balconies with views over the mighty Danube, the lifeblood of Linz. 30 minutes later, she arrived home, her shoes covered in mud, and the hem of her long wool coat soaked through. Home was a small 3-story apartment block adorned with window shutters and flower boxes. The rich smell of goulash greeted her as she opened the front door, but she would have to eat later, for her parents stood waiting in the hallway, wearing coats, hats, and grim expressions. "Where on earth have you been?" said her father. "What will people think of us when we don't show our respect?"
"Sorry, Fati,"
Alice said, grabbing her beret off the hook on the wall and linking her arm in her mother's.
"Let's go."
It was already dark as they crossed the Donaubrücke over the Danube and approached the town centre. Ella's father strode ahead. She turned to her mother.
"I don't know why Fati is so bothered to be here. He doesn't even like the man. It's all about appearances, I suppose."
Before her mother could answer, a roar of voices rose into the cold air. She and her parents joined the back of the huge crowd that filled the Hauptplatz. Spotlights had been positioned to light up the crowds, their faces spectre white under the harsh glow. She could feel the static of excitement all around, an energy that pulsed through her. The message was being passed back through the crowd. The motorcade was arriving. She could see the expectation and hope on the many tired faces. After years of unemployment and food shortages, the prospect of change was intoxicating. She noticed others, too, with dubious expressions, who hung back from the seething masses, but they were the minority. It was hard to tell how many Austrians who opposed the Nazi Party had stayed at home. The Nazi supporters were highly visible with their red armbands displaying the black swastika. Officials were animating the crowd, and photographers jostled for position.
"They're putting up a good show for the newspapers tomorrow," said her father, his expression grim.
Ella stood on the tips of her toes, straining to see. A shout went up.
"He's here!"
The crowd pumped their right hands as one, and as one mighty voice roared,
"Heil Hitler!"
Ella looked to her parents and followed their lead, keeping her right arm pressed against her side, their voices silent. But a part of her wished she could join the euphoria. Until this morning, when the Austrian Chancellor had resigned, the Nazi Party had been banned. Everything was changing so rapidly, it was hard to keep up with what was going on. In the centre of the square stood the imposing Baroque Trinity Column, its white marble shimmering bright under the spotlights. Atop, the round gold sculpture shone like a sun. People had clambered onto the base of the column, clinging to the saint statues to get a better view. She recognised a face. Maximilian Giesler. Tall, athletic and handsome. Every girl's dream of a boyfriend. He could take his pick from his beautiful admirers, yet he had chosen her. Max was hers. She waved in his direction, but of course he couldn't see her. All faces were now turned to the curved town hall balcony. A flag had been draped from the balcony railing, not the Austrian flag, but the red Nazi flag with the black swastika. It rippled in the breeze.
"But it's not official, Fati, is it?" Ella said. "We haven't yet voted to be part of Germany."
Her father shook his head.
"There's no stopping them now."
Conflicting emotions coursed through her in a tumult. Max had told her how everything would be